and Pastor Bill. We're looking forward to hearing the message you have prepared for us. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks, Jay. God bless you. I was asked to read a card to you that's addressed to Bezetta Baptist Church. So if you'll forgive my reading, if I make any mistakes, I'll go over it twice. When you sow seeds of kindness, you reap the harvest of appreciation. Thank you for being a blessing. And all of your prayers during this difficult time, Bill and Brenda. Thank you for those prayers, guys. I can tell you from my own understanding. I'll leave this on the pulpit. It probably could go in a bulletin board. I can tell you, as I've told you before many times, how important it is to pray. Early in the ministry, we discovered that truth from God. And we began to get people to pray. We would begin to witness to Jewish souls and Jewish people. We began to have God's people pray. And your church was a part of that years and years and years ago. I haven't seen you guys for 2 years. It's just like I was here yesterday. That's what it feels like to me. I got some grown-up people in the back. That's what I got. The kids started to grow up, you know. But years ago, we began to realize, as I began to have people pray for those I was witnessing to, we began to see more people get saved. And you being a part of that, and all of you older folks who are here, what an appreciation we had for those prayers. It is a joint activity. We do this as a family. We do this as one another, to support one another and to love one another and to bring souls into the kingdom. And that's exactly what happened. Your prayers are vitally important and greatly appreciated. Yours truly, and Lily, both of us appreciate your prayers. Sorry she's not with me. She's a fill-in. She's not the regular. She's the fill-in, and the person teaching the children's church was gone, so she was already scheduled, so that's okay. So you understand I have to accept the fact that my wife is not here with me. So all of you poor people, understand that my wife would sit in the back row back there, and it was time for me to stop. She'd sit back there and go like that. That's why I never looked at my wife as I got towards the end of the message. You, I'm telling you very nicely, this is going to be a long message. I got you. I got you. Okay. Without further ado, with all of the thanks, and all of you look good. Really, it just looks like you didn't age to me. I walked in and I saw Fred. I mean, John. I kept teasing him. Was your name Fred? No, it's John. I kept teasing. How could I ever forget John? I might forget Jay, but never John. I might forget Bob or Sue, but never John, you know? And Belinda, I look forward to them hugs. Boy, we got a huggy church. You're going to have to come and visit till everybody gives everybody else a hug. It's really a sign. You know the people that don't like you hugging. You just know sometimes. So, and I usually stay away from the people who don't want hugs. So that means I'm a lot closer to the people who do want hugs. It's good to see you. Dave, it's just good. I said he hasn't aged a bit. He says, but I got a cracked rib. I said, that's your fault. What were you doing? You know? He didn't fully explain. He says, He's got a couple of helpers that come and feed his animals for him and all that stuff. That's how you take one another all the time. I think I'm loud enough. My audio person back there. I never saw you before in my life. You must be new to the church. Ted is sitting there going, oh boy. blessings on you. I'd love to just stand up here and talk to you about, you know, different things, but you've come to hear about the Lord. You've come to hear what he has laid on my heart. And just about a month ago, I was praying, you know, Lord, one of these days I'm going to have to give some messages to people. What do you think? And you know what came to my mind was the different portions of scriptures that he used in my call to the ministry. You understand, maybe you don't understand as fully as I feel I am the most unworthy of anyone to be called in a ministry. I was not a nice guy. I was a drunkard. I was a fighter. I was violent. I did things to people that I look back and I shudder and say, how could I have done that? So you understand that God called me and I struggled and I struggled and I struggled. I said, surely you meant this person over here. You know, nobody's going to listen to me anyway. Who should I tell them send me? You know, all of those things that you get in classical passages that you and I may know very well. And this one, I'm sure you've looked at. This was the crowning blow to my ego. Can I put it that way? When God completely washed me out and broke me and left me weeping and sobbing because I was so unworthy that I kept telling God no, when he was able to take a rock and make it speak, to save a life, to lift a life, and to be a blessing to so many people, to feed, to raise the dead, to the lame walk, the blind saw. And so I began to realize in that breaking of yours truly, this was something that I kept to myself. And so I will tell you and just simply give you, and I may break down and give you some details of what happened to me at the different points in this. People always want to have, to be called, they're looking for a bolt of lightning. I not only got a bolt, I got the thunder, I got the kick in the pants, I got everything. So when you are looking for that bolt, you may get a lot more than you expect. Just be obedient to the word. I can tell you what a blessing that is to be obedient to the word. You have the voice and the breath of God, and you hold it in your hand, and you read it hopefully every day. You pray to him every day. If you didn't believe he was there and you didn't believe he would answer, why in the world are you praying? But he answers. And he's there. And to connect with there, it's the word. As I opened the Bible that morning, I believe it was Saturday morning, I don't know how many years ago, I know at least 45, 50 years ago. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Here's Isaiah. He gives the time of his vision, of his interaction. You see, back in that day, God would verbally talk to people. He would appear to people. He would do things that you and I don't have the private things to do. Do you know why? Because he's come and he lives within you when you ask Jesus Christ into your heart and life. He's already here. And his speaking comes gently and softly through the Word of God. Here is Isaiah. He steps into the temple, and it's in the period of time of Uzziah. It's approximately 760, 765. I find some of the markings in the years don't jive in my thinking. They don't seem to fit. So some of this stuff, but he tells you clearly it's the year that this king died. And he is there in the temple. And as he's in the temple, he has an appearance of God. And he sees God in his magnificent glory, seated on a throne. You'll see that again. You and I get privy to it in the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Do you remember John is picked up to heaven? He sees him who sits on the throne. So I want to tell you, God is a him. And he sits on a throne. And all that John sees when he looks is this radiant, beautiful, glorious rainbow of green, emerald green. And he sees all these other fantastic things. But Isaiah doesn't see that. He sees God in royal robes, and his train fills the temple. All of you ladies know what is meant by a train, don't you? You've seen a wedding gown and that big train that followed. Men, this is not a choo-choo. This is not a diesel. This is a clothing that trails behind the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And it filled the temple. That's a pretty big place to fill if you're there. Read those dimensions in Solomon. And when Solomon built that temple, fantastic. Here Isaiah sees the Lord high and lifted up. He sees him in his magnificence. He begins to see these things around it. Above it stood the seraphim. The seraphim, can I tell you what they are? They're angelic beings. But do you know what their term is? You know what that term is in Hebrew? Burners. Remember, they didn't have these things. They haven't like that. What did they use to light with? A little fire. Burners. Was when you looked into the flame, at the center of the flame, and you saw that intense light in the flame. That's what they see. That's what he sees they are. They're angelic beings. I believe they're special guardian angels around the throne of God. They're magnificent. They have six wings. Each one of them has, it says seraphim, that's plural. But he describes one so that you get to see one. And here he is. He is there and he has six wings. He covers his feet with one, covers his eyes or his face, pardon me, his face with another, and then with two he flies. Can you imagine seeing that? Can you imagine a glimpse? And we will see it, ladies and gentlemen. We will see that in the future. One cried unto another, verse 3, and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. He is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is filled with his glory." Here's these angelic beings, and here they are, and evidently they know who he is, and they're crying to one another about him. Holy, holy, holy. All right, I got a question for you. I want to make you think. I want you to meditate on that. I'm going to tell you my opinion, but you've got to find yours. You have to interact with the scripture. Here he is, one of the angels. And the angel is saying, holy, holy. And another one's over here answering, holy, holy, holy. And this one is answering, I don't know how many there are. So are they just repeating themselves? Or are they looking at a triune God? And praising Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Need to think about it. Need to make up your mind about it. You may change your mind. I hope that you will come to my opinion, but you don't have to. I believe when you get down to the call and the sending, that's when you know. Because he says this at the very end. I'll give you a clue. Verse 8, who shall go for us? Ladies and gentlemen, that's plural. That's not who's going to go for me. That's going to go, who is going to go for us? You may not completely understand it. You know how much Jewish people struggle with the fact that there's a triune God. But that's their God. He is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He made it plain throughout the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah. If you understand those angelic beings, don't lie. They can't lie. They're crying, holy, holy, holy. I wanted to raise my hand and sing one of them holy songs this morning today. Holy, holy, holy is our God. He is special. He's unique. He's one of a kind. He's everything that you cannot be. He's above us. He's majestic. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And he's everywhere present. We have brought God down in our age till he's like one of us. Yea and amen, because Jesus was one of us. But the very presence and power of God that rests upon Jesus in his resurrection is the same power that's given to you to overcome sin. This absolutely, positively, holy God says this to you and me, Old Testament and New, be ye holy, for I am holy. That simply means be set apart for God and live like it. Because you are supposed to reflect not this world, not this, the culture that's here. You are to reflect a God of love, of gentleness, of kindness, of justice. And they're looking at you. Do you remember the words? You are my epistle written in flesh and blood, Paul writes, I believe, to the Corinthians. You are my epistle. You're the only epistle that someone is going to see that's going to cross your path sometime in your lifetime. And you are to do what? Be holy. Be distinct. Be different. Be special. Be one of a kind. And reflect the very image of what he is to a lost and dying world. You're to be a mirror that others look and see something different about. You understand, that was the first time I've ever read this passage. And here's what my answer was when I felt the holiness of God, I really felt His holiness. I really felt His presence. And I said, woe is me. I said, I am undone. For all the people that say they had a happy experience with Jesus, I want to tell you something. It's fearful. And it's breaking. You will not be yourself after a meeting with Jesus like this. Absolutely. Overwhelmingly powerful. I said, I am undone. Woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips in the midst of an unclean generation. That is so appropriate for our time. Sometimes even Christians bubble out with some of them words. You got the track in the wrong place. I'm talking about an 8-track and a CD for you younger people. Wow, man, woo! You meet God, it's going to change you. You'll never be the same after a meeting like this. People began knocking on my door. What made you different? I didn't know I was different. You understand, God had a lot to do. Maybe that's why He did this with me. God had to throw me around and knock me against the wall. But He met me and broke me. And I realized my unclean lips were an affront to God. I realized my life was not my own. That someone else held my life in the palm of His hands. How many times have you heard that preaching? He holds you in the palm of His hands. You know how I know He holds you and me in the palm of His hands? He got holes in His hands. He rose with the holes in His hands. You're forever inscribed in the book of life of Jesus. Serve Him. That was the message that came to me. Serve. That's as much for you as it is for me. Your life is valuable to God. Please don't throw it away on stuff that's passing. Fill it with eternal things. Oh my, mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of glory. I saw no vision. I saw anything, but God was there. And I could feel Him squeezing till I melted inside, till there was nothing left. I tried to hide from God. I looked down at my hardwood floors, which were already wet with tears. I wanted to crawl in a crack to get away from that intense holiness. And all of a sudden, the words of Scripture that I had read once time before, there's no place that you can hide from God. You're the exact same as me. There is no place you can hide from God. He's everywhere you want to go and everywhere you've been. He exists in every area of your mind, every area of your emotions, and every area of your will. And He keeps saying, come to me. Give me your problems. Give me your life. I tell you, one as he flew, that seraphim flew from off the altars, and he had a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he flies to Isaiah. And he touches his lips and he's purged. The Lord Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, has resurrected for you. And when he did that, all sin was purged from you. The problem with people is they won't bow their neck to allow him to be the Lord of all of their life. You and I need that. If anyone needed it, God showed me I did. I think I was the lowliest of the low, the rebelest of the rebels, and the meanest of the mean. And he loved me. And he purged me. And my heart was broken. Absolutely broken. When Isaiah came to the point, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and whom shall go for us?" You see the us? That's a real clue who the seraphim are shouting the praise, "Holy, holy, holy." Then said I, "Here am I, send me." And as I read, "Here am I, send me," my heart absolutely broke because I was saying, "Here am I, send somebody else." You done that? God needs servants, not kings. He'll make us kings in due time. He'll make us queens in due time. But in the meantime, our place of blessing is service. I couldn't understand many times. I said, "Oh, God's called me into ministry. Hey, that's something great. Hey, that it is." But it can never be served with pride of heart. I was an extremely proud man. And God used that to bring me to my knees, to say, "I am nothing, and you are everything. Am I different than you? Come now. Come now. We got to do this together." He loves you so much, he died, was buried, and rose. He purged you of your sin. Surely, you can yield your life, your intellect, your emotion, your will, your body, your soul, and your spirit into his hands. And your children. Come on, give them to God. Best thing I ever did was give my kids to God. I made a mess raising them. I gave them to God. How about your grandchildren? I know there's some old geezers in here, just about my age or younger. Bob, you're the same age or a year older than me. See that? He confessed it. He's older than I am. I got you. Please remember, even there's such joy in the Lord. Why not let his joy be ours? Call unto me and answer me, and I will show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy might be full. What is this fruit of the Spirit? Love. Joy. There's a lot of us Christians that aren't too joyful. Yeah, remember that little song? "Smile is just a frown turned upside down." Remember that little song? He found it great joy to die for you, so that you could have a place in heaven with him. It took a lot of breaking for me to serve him. But can I be practical with you? You're all supposed to serve him. You don't need a rock to fall on you. You don't need this kind of stuff. If you read the word and are obedient to the word, God is always there. You know that every good deed you do, God writes down in a book. His word says in Isaiah, before you call, I will answer. Whoa, if that doesn't knock your socks off, he knows what's going to happen to you 20 years from now, if I live 20 years from now. You and I have got to learn that no matter what this guy says up here, you have a God up there who needs your attention, your love, your care, your trust, your faith, and your service. Why? Because he loves you. Would you believe God even loved me? You know, a lot of people found that very hard in my past, to love me. That's why it overwhelmed me when I knew that God loved me. I am no different than you are. Each of us is called to do specific tasks, but we're all called to do general tasks. We're all called to serve one another. You know the hardest place of service? In the home. Where do most fights start? Should I ask the wife or the husband? Where do most fights start? In the home. You couldn't believe my mother and dad. They would fight over everything. I mean, it just wasn't. Screaming and yelling scared the life out of us kids. One of the proofs, I think I told you, of my dad's salvation, 84, on a hospital gurney in a suburban Pittsburgh hospital. My mother led him to the Lord, and we thought my dad was going to die, and my mother told me the next day in the house, she said, Billy, I want to tell you that your father prayed last night. We had a little argument, but he prayed. If he said, Bob, it's your turn to pray. She said, Urs. He would say, Urs, you pray. No, you. Mom won that one. Next day, she said, the sweetest words I ever heard your father say was, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and life and save me. 6 months later, I get a call. It's my mother crying. She is literally crying. She is all worked up. I'm in Cleveland. She's in Pittsburgh. Billy, would you talk to your dad? He said the meanest things to me. I didn't ask then. I asked later, what was the argument over? Do you know that we have a side door in our old farmhouse, and the breeze blowed through that side door? When it was hot, you sat there, and that breeze felt so good. Well, you see, my father didn't want the breeze blowing on him, or my mother didn't, and my father did. And they fought over the door being opened that far, till they got so incensed. My mother was so broken, she called me. Billy, could you talk to your dad? I said, hey. He's never listened to me. Why would he listen to me now? Well, anyway, I called my dad. I just said, hi, Dad, how are you doing? We got to talk. And he said, Bill, can I ask you something? Did you ever hear your father? You know, it's just something snide or you're going to get something, you know, like this. Can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, Dad. He said, I said some awful mean things to Mom. what do you think I ought to do? I said, well, Dad, let me think for a minute. You know, that's, I mean, I said, Dad, perhaps an apology would be nice. And he went on to talk. About an hour, hung up. About an hour later, the phone rings again. It's my mother. Now, you understand, she's getting pretty old at this time. She's in her upper 80s. No, pardon me, upper 70s. She's my age. And she said, Billy, Billy, Billy. I said, what is it, Mom? What is it? She said, your dad apologized to me. First time in 60 years of marriage. Things change when you come to Christ. And sometimes along our life's pathway, we got to rededicate. We got to stop and think what we're doing and saying to one another, because words hurt, don't they? You don't have to punch another guy or a lady in the nose to hurt them. Words hurt. Watch your tongue. I usually in marriage counseling tell people, I want you to never to quit understanding to communicate. Never stop talking to one another, except if you got something mean to say, then put teeth marks in your tongue. Never stop communicating. And the second thing that I make very sure, forgive one another. Every one of us who's married say things and do things that we should apologize to our mates for. So do it. Never leave off forgiveness. That's one of the true marks of your Christianity. Every one of you think of somebody that did something wrong to you. Just stop and think. I want to be like Jesus. I will forgive. You know what to do with your will. It may take 10 years for the feeling to come, but I will forgive. I will not hold that against that person. I will not let that person control my mind by that act or by those words. That's what God taught me all at one time. He leaned on me. And I knew just how filthy I was in the face of a holy God. So I would say to you, I don't think any of you are like me, okay? But in God's sight, you've done things that are ungodly. Can you rectify them? Can you straighten them out? Can you do it with Him? Let's do it now, okay? Would you bow your heads with me, please? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time that you've allowed me to share your testimony, your magnificence, and your glory. Father God, how so? I want to live up to that glory. And I feel I'll never be there. For your glory belongs to you. For my brothers and sisters here now, Father, can we join together and pray to you, Father? Papa, hear us. Lord Jesus, we have sinned. We know you've forgiven them, but we yield them to you. Even our hearts of unforgiveness, our minds that want to wag our tongues, we yield to you. Precious Father, Papa, thank you for receiving us and hearing our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anybody now that hasn't received the Lord Jesus Christ, because I know some of you here that I haven't seen before. You know, I haven't been here for 2 years. I used to know you like the back of my hand. Now I've got some strange faces here. What I would like you to do, if you haven't received Christ and if you want to, very simple prayer. Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Thank you for dying on the cross, being buried, and being raised. He did that for you. He did that for me. Can you say, He did that for me? Come into my heart and life. Save me. Let me walk with you and talk with you. I want a relationship with a living God. In Jesus' name. Amen. I can't sing the closing. If I did, you'd leave a lot quicker than I could get to the back of the church to shake your hand. Some of you have heard me sing. You know, God didn't give me a voice to sing. I wish He did. Because I'd sing my messages and you would remember them more. God bless you. God keep you. I've got some new prayer cards. And you'll notice that Lily looks very nice and I'm still squinting because I'm looking in the sun. She said that's the best one we had. But she never looked at me, look at any others. She picked this one out. These are our new prayer cards. It was 20 years, 30 years ago that I had a prayer card made. People were saying, what do you look like now? Oh, I really don't want you to know. I'd like you to pray for these people. I'll leave them in the back. I've got to go. All right, come on, stand up. Jay, you got something for us to sing?
Yes.
Come on.
We're not singing in this time, but...
Yeah, that's good.